Blog Talk Radio.
And one more time, give it up for Karen Clark. She is, please.
Yes, Lord. I just come today saying, yes, Lord. Well, good afternoon. Well, good evening for all of the Blog Talk listeners in the morning, if that's when you're listening. Whatever time of day it is, I say hello to you. I welcome you to another broadcast of the Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I come saying hello, and I'm just glad to be in the presence of the Lord, and I just thank God for another day that we're able to just come together and just give him thanksgiving and just learn from him. Because, oh, we need you so much, dear Father. And we just open up with our prayer. We just say thank you, Lord Jesus. Just, I thank you as I come boldly to the throne of mercy. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your protection. I thank you, dear Father, that I have someone that I can run to. I have someone that can give me comfort. I have somewhere that I can come to you and just be personable, dear Father, and I can release things that is on my mind that I don't have to worry about no one else talking about it, telling about it, laughing about it, trying to discuss it, pull it apart. It is just between you and I. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that instead of all of the negativity that we sometimes get, dear Father, when we come to you, even when you're chastising us, dear Father, your loving hand is never without away from us. You're always there. You're always with us. And I thank you for that, Jesus. And I ask you to bless all families that are in bereavement, dear Father. We ask blessings over the people to people association here in San Antonio for all families that are donors have donated organs from a loved one. And on our first grieving sessions tomorrow, as we all come together tomorrow for the first time to try to help one another. And if we can help one another, we can help the city. If we help the city, we can help the states, and we can move throughout the country and throughout the world. And we ask your blessing hand to just be over that tomorrow, dear Father. May it be the beginning of something, dear Father, that's going to help someone around the world, dear Father. I just thank you for your divine protection, dear Father, right now over the minds of the Tim family, for Bishop Zachary Tim's, dear Father. I just ask you to bless continuously his entire family, dear Father, from Reva and the four kids. We just ask blessings over each and every one of them, over their hearts right now, dear Father. And dear Father, over their minds, dear Father, in the midst of confusion and disbelief and all of the things, dear Father, that they may be feeling and going through right now. We just ask, dear Father, that you just be that surrounding post around them and send those who need to be there, dear Father, to them. And all of those who are just there just to mock or just to spread rumors or just to, for any wrong reason that there may be, I ask, dear Father, that you block them right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we ask in your prayer over the Zachary Tim family right now and all other families around the world, dear Father, that is grieving right now, they're lost right now, they're confused right now, they're troubled right now, dear Father.
Amen.
We ask that your hand, and when your hand is touched in a situation, things change, dear Father. And we thank you for the changes that you're making in their life. And I thank you, dear Father, that our prayers don't come back vain. You say that your answers and your prayers will never return to you void. So I thank you, dear Father, that not just hearing our prayers, but I thank you for receiving our prayers. I thank you for not just receiving our prayers. I thank you for, dear Father, showing us how to act on the prayers that we've asked, dear Father, and just showing us, dear Father, that your love through all situations, that you haven't left us. You haven't, you're always there with us. We ask you to bless Miss Mac Knight, dear Father, as she's requesting prayer right now. She's being diagnosed with breast cancer, dear Father, and I know she has questions of why her, dear Father. But I know the bottom line is that you have not forsaken her in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You know her pain. You know what she's feeling. And you have a comforter that you have with her right now if she would receive it. And, dear Father, right now, I know that through it all, we can still rely on your word. And you said that you know the plans that you have for her. So as she continues to seek you, dear Father, may she seek you with understanding in her heart to trust you, even if she can't understand why this is happening or why it has happened. Dear Father, but she can just trust that you have plans for her life. And none of these things is going to stop you from blessing her in the way that you have set before her to be blessed. Only we can block those blessings. And we ask you, dear Father, again, send those to her that needs to be in her, with her, during these times and tribulations. And all of the others, no matter how loud they beat on her door, how much they ring her phone, or how much they say that I should be there, if they're not the ones that you have selected to be there, dear Father, I ask you to block them and move them out of her way. And we pray this and other blessings. May you increase and I decrease, and may we learn from your word tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. A lot of different things going around, dear Father. And we just thank the Lord for just being in the midst of all of it and just never leaving us and just through it all, just never leaving our sides and always having an answer there for us and always having an open heart there for us. So I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a forgiving God and just being someone that we can come to, and we don't have to go through mediators to get you to you, dear Father, to get to your attention, and we don't have to pay to get to your love, dear Father, but you're there for us, and we just come saying thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, just bless Dr. Tim. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our scripture is going to come from a very familiar verse now, and I just want us to listen to it like we've never heard it before. And it's coming from Big John, so it's in the New Testament. It's going to be John, and it's the third chapter, and we're starting at verse 16. Again, it's John in New Testament, John 3, and starting in verse 16, and we'll read through 21. 16 through 21. And as our sister prepares to get our scripture for us tonight, I just remind each and every person that the chat room is open. Praise the Lord. And the call-in number is 646-652-4916. You can reach us at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, walkwithmegod@aol.com or walkwithmelord@yahoo.com. You can always leave a message here at the Blog Talk Radio, and I know it gets a lot of them in it sometimes, but believe me, I do read every one of them, and I do try to answer back to each one, each and every person. So continue to send the messages through the Blog Talk, even though it may be take me 48 hours to get back. But within that 24 to 48 hour period, if it's the will of God and it is His way, I will get back with you. So God bless you and continuously to get in touch with us, because God has a lot of things that He has inside of you that He's just dying to. He just wants you to receive it so He can get it out there. And your pain today is somebody else's passion tomorrow. Somebody's waiting on your word. They're waiting on you to overcome this so you can help somebody else. So continue to cry out and shout out, and that's the good thing. Get it out. Get it out. So don't think that you're getting on my nerves. Sometimes somebody say, I know I'm bothering you to tell you this, but you're not bothering me. You're not getting on my nerves. It's a great thing. So God Amen. Bless you. God bless you one and all. And we do. We see you, area code 252. God bless you. God bless you. And right now, sister, do we have our scripture ready?
And I'm going to ask you to read that scripture because I took my contacts out by the time I got home.
God bless you. No problem. No problem at all. God bless you. I understand you've been on the road all night, and we thank you for straight in off of the road and jumping online just to be a part of the ministry tonight. So, God bless you, and thank you for leading you and guiding you both there and back on your four-hour little trip. Bless you. So we're in Big John, and we're starting in chapter 3, and we're at verse 16. And again, it's a familiar scripture, but I ask you to move that familiarity out of your spirit right now and hear this as if it's the first time that you've ever heard this in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Says,
Amen.
For our God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Yes.
God did not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's only one Son. Now this is the verdict. It says light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. That has to be repeated. It says, now the light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed.
Amen.
Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen.
Yes.
So what he has done has been done through God. So just one more time, it says in verse 20, it says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reader of your word. And I thank you, dear Father, for all of the ones that are going to do something with the word that they're hearing tonight, dear Father. And may it be something brand new and fresh in our hearts, fresh in our minds. And may we check ourselves and come into the light of if we are true believers. Come into the light. Hallelujah. So that we can see plainly what it is that we're doing. Sometimes we have good intentions, but we're covered by darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And our good intentions will hold us back. Hallelujah. So we thank Lord Jesus for sending us the light.
Yes,
He's given us the light. So if we believe in the Son that Jesus gave his life for us, we should believe that there's a light over our situation. There's a light in the midst of what's going on in our lives right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. We thank you, Jesus. We come tonight just asking a simple question. Just a simple question. What is it that you're wanting? What is it that you're looking for in church? What kind of church is inside of you? What kind of church do you bring with you each and every time when you come into the church? What is it that you're expecting to see, that you're expecting to get out of it? Somebody said, well, I didn't enjoy church today. The choir was off, and it seems like the pastor didn't have anything together, right? The word just wasn't there. But my question back is, when you look in the mirror and you say the same things, what answer did you give yourself of what you contributed to the church? So it just comes back down to, what is it that you want and what is it that you're looking for in your church? What church are you bringing inside of you? Does it take everyone in the church, the praise team, everybody, the ushers, the greeters, do they all have to pour into you constantly in order for you to get something out of the service? Do they have to pamper you and they have to treat you a certain way? They have to have your peace already prepared for you in order for you to get something out of the word. What kind of church is inside of you? You said, can't be too loud in here for me. Oh, this is too, it's just too quiet. I can't praise God if it's that quiet. What are your conditions? What is it that you're bringing? What's inside of you? You said a church can't be too big. The building can't be too small. They can't stay past this hour, that hour. I have so many conditions, so many requests that I'm asking God to do for me, but it's so little that I'm willing to do back for God. What is it that you're doing when we look at each other, when we look at ourselves? Are we able to forgive the ones that are as you're asking to be forgiven? Are we able to work in the church and not just sit there and be worked on constantly?
Yeah.
What is it looking for? What is it that you're expecting when you get up and go? Is it just a traditional thing that you're just so used to doing it? You know, you can travel down a certain road each and every day, and it can be a day that you're not supposed to be going in that place, but you're so used to going in that same direction that you'll get in the car and just almost go to that same place. Is that the same thing that's happening now when we're going to worship, when we're going to give praise to the Lord? Are we just so used to going in that direction, sitting on a pew sitting for a certain time that that's all we get out of it? And we get a good time, and we say it's a good time if we saw somebody that we hadn't saw in a while, or somebody pampered her so much today that they finally was able to get through that shell that you brought in there with you. Hallelujah. Someone was able to help you, but you're not a helper to anyone.
Amen.
Church that you're bringing? Have you thought about the kind of church that you're bringing? You say, well, it's just, you know, the temperature is not right in this church. You know, it's no single man in this church. It's no single woman in this church. The word is coming from a female. I can't get that in this church.
Mm-hmm.
That word is too loud in this church. I don't like that old preacher. He's too loud. I don't like that old evangelist. She's always shouting, you know. What is the word that we're missing? What part of the word? The word should be the word. So in every group that you go to, you still can't get comfortable and find what God has for you to be. Now let's turn that thing back around and see, what is it that I'm not bringing with me? What part of me is not getting this?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something. But we are looking to be pleased and not pleasers. So there are those who will say that they want a church that has a lot of action in it, but they bring nothing inside of their heart. They say they want a church who has a friendly attitude, but they come in there with a heart and a heart every Sunday, every Friday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday. So why is it that you can't get anything out of it? It may be because you're not feeling comfortable there, because you're not making anyone else feel comfortable. We've got to stop being so sensitive. See, a church that doesn't insult a person's intelligence, we're there to help you. And we come in with our thoughts. The church is not there to talk down to you or even water down the gospel to fit your needs. You know, we can't say this. We can't preach this because that means offend you or you or you or you. The church is not there to water down the gospel.
Amen.
With us watering it down or telling it, putting the word out there to us. Here's the word.
Mm-hmm.
He has presenters. And once it's presented to you, it's up to you to choose how you're going to receive it, what you're going to do with it. Many want a church that's got very high spirited. They want love abound. They want attitudes to be checked at the door. But when you come in there with a cheerful heart.
Yes.
We should be coming. Our church should be just like it is inside of our home. You should be able to have church inside of your home.
Yes.
You should be able to praise. You should be able to worship right inside of your home. Hallelujah. It shouldn't take the whole congregation to get you started up before you feel something. Because you may get caught up in emotions. And
that's
what
right.
You think you're doing is you're praising God. You're just really caught up in some emotions. And the moment that you walk out of church, or if you get that far, if you feel that someone has offended you, you're right back to cursing. You're right back to doing the thing that you was doing.
Yes, yes.
So we have to
Hallelujah.
We got to want to do better. We got to want to serve God. You have anything on that, Barbara? You got to want to be willing to accept and learn from God. And learn the word. Then you got to put that, what you've learned, you got to put it into being. Now, every time that you say, I get this word, the enemy's going to come knocking at your door to
Amen.
See if you really believe that.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You got to have that zeal for God. You got to be able and willing to say, here I am, God. Use me in the way, Lord, that you want to use me, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I'm waiting for you, Jesus. You got to be able to step out there. Step out there on the word and trust in him. You got to be able to say, I let go, God, and I turn everything over to you, Lord. And then, God, you just got to be able just to open up your hands and lift up your hands up to the heaven and say, here I am, God. Use me in thy way, Lord. Use me in thy way, Lord. Then God is be open. Just be open. Just be open.
Amen. Amen. It's a lot of different things in that you just said. Awesome word. Awesome word. We've got to be open, and it takes practice. You've got to practice and teach yourself, just like you teach your child how to crawl, how to walk, how to speak to other people. We've got to be in a position that we daily look at ourselves and say, how did I do today? Did I overcome today when this person cut me off?
Right.
Was I better at it today than yesterday? If I'm going to open up my heart and say, use me, we got to know that it's going to be some things that it may not be just the way that he thinks. Sometimes we think when we say that he says, okay, evangelist, then let me set you up here and everybody's going to listen to the word, everybody's going to agree with the word, all. You know, it's a lot of times you get hate mail. It's a lot of times you get things that are done to you that, you know, that are not quite respectful. But you've got to be able to say that I'm on the pathway. I'm in the righteous pathway. I know where I'm at. I know who I'm working for. I know who I'm working through. I know what's inside of me. So you know what? It is not I, but it's he that is inside of me who gives me strength to go on, to turn the other cheek, to keep moving. Because if not, you'll give up. And you'll find yourself, you're over there arguing back at them. Or you're over there, and now instead of preaching the word, now you've got your word going from your mouth.
That's right. You've been decreasing.
See, we need a church that prays for the leading of the Holy Spirit to be invited in.
Mm-hmm.
We need a church that invites the Holy Spirit, that knows the Holy Spirit's job, that knows how to use, take advantage of the Holy Spirit. We're looking for comfort, but we're looking all around us, and we're not inviting any comfort into our hearts. You need a church that has a vision. That means you need a vision in your heart. You need a vision in your heart. It's important to know what kind of church you want. It's also important to know what kind of church God wants. Now, Acts, in the book of Acts, for the apostles, it gives us a glimpse and a profound understanding of the nature, and the mission of the church. In this book, it tells us a little bit. We're trying to put it all together. It tells us that the epistles tell us of a church that is pleasing to God. It was not a perfect church, but it was a pleasing church, a church that distinguished itself among just the physical structures.
Yes.
A church that was filled with forgiving, imperfect people.
Mm.
And often in our expectations, our perfection, it gets in the way of a church that is pleasing to God. We think that everything has to be this way or that way. But in the book of Acts, we find a church that was growing. It was amazingly adding new disciples daily. It was a church that shared, a church that worshiped and sat at the teachings of the apostles. No one really wants to listen right now in these days and times. No one wants to worship. We want to entertain, but really worship. Do you want to share with somebody? We find, though, in Acts that they went from house to house sharing the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Sharing the gospel. A need arose in chapter 6 that required the church to better manage its resources in a new and maybe an orderly manner. Chapter 6 tells us about the Greeks began to murmur, and some started to complain about how the widows were being treated compared to the Hebrew widows and the Greek widows, and then some was saying that it was favoritism. One group was even talking about that, you know, the Greeks were then favored over the Hebrews. I'm talking about the book of Acts. We're still in the Bible. It hints that prejudice was going on, or seeing to your own ethnic group or the family outside of the circle of a close associates was being treated differently. So the disciples called a church conference. And this is me paraphrasing. The disciples called a church conference, and the murmuring was getting out of hand. I mean, it was just more and more. People were possibly gossiping more about the situation than they did when they were listening to the gospel.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that's happening in many of our churches today, that you can find people, the gospel is being spread. The word is coming across the pulpit. We got Sister June and Brother John sitting back out here, and they're flirting. We got Sister So-and-so and Sister He over here, and they're talking about something that happened the last day. They're looking at somebody else of what they got on. Many other things are catching our attentions that are keeping us from the gospel. Go back to the book of Acts, the same as it's going today. So they decided to change their method of handling the ministry. So the administrative structure hinders sins. They decided that all of the needs of the same group, they got all the needs. Here's the needs of the group. And they decided to have a discussion, a division of labor, because the work of the word, the work of the worship, they needed prayer, evangelism. It was too important for them to just stop and supervise a feeding program. So they chose those that was wise and full of the Holy Spirit. See, that's exactly what happens today. We get so confused about the pastor says, he says, I want you to go do this right here. Well, I should have been the one that he chose. But when you're in constant membership, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, God delegates who he wants. And so we have to, if that's our leader, if that's our pastor, we have to trust that he is hearing from God.
Yeah.
Not that old favoritism or this is that going on. If something is wrong, the Holy Spirit will show you that too. But we have to be willing to set up under our leader and try to do what it is that they're asking us to do. Everybody wants to be the chief. Nobody wants to work. No one wants to get in, out, and work.
Wait a minute.
So in the book of Acts, they decided they had different people to do different things. They chose according to the ones that was full of the Holy Spirit. They empowered them to exercise their gift. Exercise your gift. The same way that some don't want to exercise their gift or pretend that they have gifts that they're exercising, which is really their own thoughts, their own way that they think things should be done. There are people sitting in the churches right now that has powerful gifts that God has anointed them with. They're not using them. They're not sharing them with the church. They're not sharing them with the body of Christ. We got hairstylists that are sitting in the church, but they would look and sit and talk about this sister over here with five kids who's not able to get her hair done. Never think to bless her. Never think to give her any tips with her little girl's hair. We have people that are sitting there that should be able to build on the building fund. Not just sit there and collect this board that sets up every week about this building fund. They should be able to help build the buildings.
Yes.
That's what they do out in the world. But they won't step inside of the church and do anything to help.
That's right.
So the building fund board just grows every Sunday. You see it sitting there. Nothing ever gets done. How many times have we saw the same thing over and over again, not exercising your gift? The kind of church seems then to be where no one can be on balance. But the kind of church where God was looking for, where everyone is important in the sight of God, regardless of your family, regardless of your affiliations, your ethnic group, your history, your heritage,
yeah.
It's a church that takes care of the needs of the people.
Amen.
It's a church that is in praise together. It's a church whose leaders can take actions before the crisis. It's a place where people are not afraid to change, not afraid to open up their heart, say what they need to say, not afraid to change. It's got to be a place where leadership is serious about the ministry, serious about worship. Serious about prayer. Serious about evangelism. That means, yes, getting out in your communities. That means, yes, that you're tired from working all day, but you've got to get out in your community. You've got to get to the hospitals. You've got to get to the nursing homes. You've got to get to the prison. That's the church that's going to be inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What kind of church is inside of you? What kind of church is God coming back to find? Is God's presence in your church? Can God's presence be felt in you? Can God's power be seen in you? When you're outside of your job, are those people surprised to know that you're even a Christian? Are they surprised to know that you're up in church every Sunday? Are they surprised to know that the person that they see in church is a totally different person than on the job? Check the church in you. Check the church that is in you. Not what kind of church do you want?
Right.
But what kind of church does God want?
Mm-hmm.
And the blueprint for the church that God wants is found in Acts 6. And God can work through you to manifest high glory in the church where you are planted right now, where you're at. He can manifest in your life to do some things, make a difference in you, starting with you. I know you feel like it needs to start with the person on the next for you, but it needs to start right there with you. Acts 6:2 is going to be our scripture for today. I want you to take it with you. It said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables.
Yes.
God's word. We must learn to praise. We got to bring praise in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We need a praying spirit in order to receive something. We just read in the book that we've got to run towards the light.
Yeah.
And we continue to walk and keep ourselves towards the light.
And then when we're thinking bad thoughts and when we're getting off of the pathway, then the Holy Spirit can bring us around. He can show us what we're doing. Like when we have a negative thought in our mind and we're thinking negative things and we just sit there and let them fluster and grow, we're in the darkness. We can speak out of his mouth and say that I am the light.
Yes.
But we're living in darkness. We're living in darkness. Our homes is going to be in darkness. Why are we surprised when the kids come up in darkness? That's the darkness that you showed them. Why are we surprised then when our kids run away from the church instead of God? Because they didn't find God there.
That's
they found darkness there.
That's
they found contempt there. They found adultery there. They found liars there. The Holy Spirit must be present in your church. Praise must be present in your church. Worship must be present in your church. The enemy is knocking at your door, and he's going to ask you, just exactly, are you sure that's what you want? You've been in this darkness for so long. Are you sure you want to leave this darkness to come to the light? If you go out there in that light, everything is going to be exposed of what you did. You know what? If you go in prayer to God, expose it yourself. Don't wait on the enemy to expose your sin.
That's right.
Because God still loves you. Regardless of your sin, it's the sin that he displeased with.
Amen.
He loves you. He can work inside of you. He can cleanse you. It's the sin that he needs to get out of the way. And you can't move that sin. You can't clean that sin. You can't wash that sin. You said, but I'm doing the sin a little less and a little less and a little less. It's not, you don't have that power to get yourself from out of all the clay, the mess that you've got yourself into. Only he can do it. Until you get yourself clean, because it's not going to happen. It's a lie. You've been fooled. And I know you know that deep down inside. But just come on right now, just as you are. Just as you are, just right now. If you've never decided that I just want to trust you, God, I want to give my life to you, I want to invite you in. I invite you to just repeat these words. Jesus Christ, I thank you for being obedient. I thank you, Jesus, for just loving me enough to die for me. God, I believe that you gave your only son and that he gave his life for me. In the midst of my sins, he gave his life for me. I'm a sinner. And I repent of my sin. Come wash me clean. I invite you to come live inside of me. And I will make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
You know we want to be saved. We're looking to be saved on a daily basis. You know we want someone who's going to love us. Lord over us, have lordship over us. Well, congratulations. The entire heavens are shouting with you right now. They're celebrating the move that you have just made. Now listen to me clearly. It is so important that you reach out to someone and let them know of the decision that you have made right now to follow Jesus Christ, that you've invited him in your heart. You're going to need someone that to be that strength. And we here at Tri-Anointed Women of Christ, at the ministry, we want to be that person for you. We want to pray with you. We want to find someone in your city, your state, a good church home, a Bible-teaching church home. We will pray about it. We will get in touch with some churches. We will get you transportation there. We will send out Bibles, whatever material that you may need. Or you may be the one who says, I know, I'm just coming back. I know I've turned my back, and I'm coming back to Christ. But you see, I've never turned my back. I just want a stronger relationship. I need some biblical material. Or I want to hand that back to somebody. You can be that one. Call in. You can reach us at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to be the one. Send out Bibles to you. Any biblical material that I can help you with on your walk? You can also leave a message here at the Blog Talk Radio. And remember again, even if I don't get back to you on the Blog Talk within the first few hours, I always respond back. And it's a lot of messages that come through. And it's just me at this point. And if in the near future, God may bless me with someone else that is
That's
able
right.
to go on to some of there and answer some of the messages that you send to me in my emails and on the Blog Talk. But right now, I always get to get somebody. I respond to everyone within 48 hours. So, again, I just ask you to give me 24 to 48 hours. Continue to pray about whatever it is. And God is going to make sure that he hears your prayers, he receives your prayers, and that he answers your prayers. So God bless you, each and every one of you. We love you here at the ministry. Again, we're praying just for all families that are in bereavement. And for the family of Zachary Kim. God bless them and his whole entire ministry. We also continue to ask for prayer for the 8-year-old little boy, Corey, here in San Antonio, who's battling cancer. Continue to ask prayer also for Mrs. Knight, who has been going through all these different things with her breast, and now they have told her that it is breast cancer. We ask them continuously prayer over my brother, Reggie, as he continues to get his other tests back. Just make sure that the cancer has not came back on him. I just believe that it's not, but it's all in the mind, too. But I believe that it's not, and I believe that God's word, whatever it is, he knows the plans. And so we have to, as warriors, just keep on praying for them. We ask continued healing for each and every person. My mother, as she's been released from the hospital, praise the Lord, for the continuous healing of the counseling and his hip.
Amen.
And whatever it is that we're in need of all around the world. We just need him. We're just in need.
Yeah.
We ask you to join us tomorrow night as we continue to pray. And until then, you have made the biggest decision by following God. And we love you here at the ministry, but the most important thing is that God loves you more.
Amen.
See you tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.